He's a Gold Mine, Baby, by Red. Read by Jax Longcoat, a Disco Elysium fanfic. Author's tags. Established relationship. POV second person. Kink negotiation. Water sports. Alcohol abuse or alcoholism. Recovery. Masturbation in bathroom. Summary. Okay, so getting pissed on wasn't always a kink of yours. Now, however, it has definitely become a thing. Problem is, you don't know your mega-cool boyfriend will be down for it. No need to ruin a good thing. Best keep this to yourself, champ. On sex paperwork, ordinary life, love, and, well, piss, of course. Chapter 1. It is not the jacket that gives you the idea. Of course, this isn't to say you didn't find the jacket mega hot. The jacket definitely gave you more than a few Kim-related ideas. Just not this particular one. You know the exact moment when the thought embedded itself in your mind. A Thursday evening, you were in the bathtub. This was less because you needed a bath per se, and more because you got home first and were bored and dying for a drink. Can't drink if you're in the bath, you had decided. This, obviously, is a lie. But it is harder if you don't have any alcohol in the house already, and if your boyfriend is maybe coming home pretty soon. So in the tub you were. You were in there for quite a while, letting the water grow tepid. You were shampooing your hair for a second time, trying, with little success, to forget the reason you got in the bath to begin with, when you heard the front door open, followed by the hurried approach of Kim's step. "Ah, there you are," he commented. He had sounded distracted, a bit rushed. He did not sound worried. "Mm-hmm," you agreed. You had just been happy to see him. You were getting cold. And then it happened. A normal thing for two men in an established live-in relationship who only have one bathroom, or so you assume. Kim turned his back to you, lifted the toilet seat, and unzipped his pants. Should you have kept talking? Should you have looked away? Maybe. Probably, if you had, nothing would have awoken in you. As it was, you sat there with shampoo in your hair and watched his back. You watched his shoulders relax ever so slightly. And you listened. What got you was not initially the sound of him pissing. The thing that got you at first was this, the slight, almost inaudible sigh Kim gave, just as he started to relieve himself. It was so faint, and yet you have replayed it countless times in your mind. It is the sound of a man holding himself to a near impossible level of control, who is finally letting it go, and it haunts you. It's just the sound of a guy taking a leak who is holding it for way too long. This is hardly the stuff of poetry, Harry. Quit making excuses and admit it. You wanted to watch him piss. It isn't like Kim doesn't use the bathroom at work, but he tends to get distracted. Sometimes he'll file whatever report that has him stuck at the precinct, and then he'll think to himself, "I don't want to be here any longer. Let's just take this home." So, he wound up pissing for a long time after that sigh. A mega long time. You never take that long. Or, if you do, it's because you're having issues getting started. Sober, you're actually kind of pee-shy. You realized he wasn't going to finish anytime soon, and that you were being noticeably weirdly quiet. So, you ducked your head under the bathwater before he'd zipped back up. That was not before you'd heard more than enough to play on loop in your head later on. The constant rushing of the stream into the toilet bowl was loud, echoing in the confines of your bathroom. You'd even been able to smell it, just a little. Familiar, astringent. Oddly, you thought his piss smelled way better than yours. Maybe it was just sentiment overriding your nose, but you thought there was something almost like coffee to it. Made sense, you thought. He drinks a lot of coffee at the office, says the 41st makes it better than the 57th. Burns it less, anyway. After a while, you had popped back up to surface. But only once Kim was composed again. Once he was safely over at the sink, washing his hands. "Don't be too much longer," he'd said. "I picked up dinner. Come eat while it's still hot." He hadn't noticed a thing. You tried to forget it yourself. "Good luck with that, Harry boy. No one is sweeping out any more rooms for you. This is a thought you will keep." It rattled around in the back of your mind for a while. Nothing you fixated on, at first. This was no thought project, just a bit of additional clatter amidst all the rest of the noise inside your head. Why, you tell yourself, you hardly even noticed it. Then, one day, you were in the shower. You were trying to deal with a shockingly resilient morning erection in as little time as possible so you could make breakfast before work instead of dooming you and Kim to a sausage roll kiosk. You were thinking about the last time you sucked Kim off, but you just weren't getting there. That's when your brain decided to mix things up a bit. "Maybe. Here, try this one out, champ. Just maybe, instead of his cum, you swallowed his piss?" Immediately, your balls contracted, and you shot hard. You didn't even try to be quiet as you worked yourself through it, your cum spiraling down the drain. "Awesome, I can make Kim's omelet," was all you thought, then. Kim gave you a knowing smile as you'd rushed into the kitchen. It was only a I-know-you-were-jerking-off smile, he isn't a mind reader. You gave him a kiss, and told him that he missed out on, like, the biggest, hottest load ever shot by man, and he was going to lose his homosexual membership card. He rolled his eyes and kept skimming the paper as you opened the fridge. "Score for Team Harry," you told yourself. That was just a happy fluke. How convenient. Just substitute your fantasy ingredients whilst jerking it, et voila. Breakfast, the most important meal of the day, is saved. There's no way you were going to make this a big thing. You definitely made it a big thing. You started avoiding the men's room by sea-wing at work because you were petrified Kim would show up and take a piss in front of you. It felt like you always had a pillow in your lap on Saturday afternoons because when Kim got up to take a leak during tip-top tournée, it was all your dick could think about. Worst of all, it wasn't even like Kim wasn't a total freak in bed. He's always doing kinky shit to you. He just wasn't this sort of freak. There's got to be some overlap, you tried telling yourself, on the rare occasions you humored the idea of asking him. But you couldn't make yourself believe it. Sure, Kim likes bossing you around. Sure, he's totally into it when you kneel and hold your hands behind your back and let him fuck your throat, a position that you've already started to come prematurely in. He thinks it's just that you're getting even more into gagging on cock, which wouldn't be wrong. It's just not the whole truth. But absolutely none of that means a guy is into piss. Even the jacket thing. Fuck the world was just too generic for him, that's all. He's not going to want to take a leak on your face. Case closed, detective. File this under shit to keep to yourself, because you have things more than good enough. No need to make things weird. Still, you agonize over it for weeks. Until one night, Kim's propped up on one elbow after he's fucked you into the mattress. Playing with your chest hair, his number one post-sex activity, his expression shifts. He starts to look like he's appraising you. You're coated in sweat, haven't caught your breath, and are probably still beet red, so you just laugh. "You ruined me," you say. "I'm done for. Look, this ride is out of service, baby. You aren't getting anything else out of me tonight." He exhales. One of your number one Kim noises. Amused, but pretending he's annoyed. "I know. That's my MO. Ride them hard, put them away wet," he says. You think he says these things to you to torture you. No one would ever believe he talks this way. And then he continues. "But that's not it. I was noticing... there seems to be something on your mind lately." Your brain is still mostly offline, so no one is screaming, "Watch out, he knows about your new piss fetish," yet. Instead, you assume it's something else. "I do?" you ask, trying not to sound anxious. You have to think about it. About a month ago, you had a relapse. This is a part of your disease, Kim says, in that way that sounds a little like he's reciting a pamphlet. He's probably right. But that time, it really freaked you out because you hadn't noticed it was going to happen. You still don't know how it happened now, even in retrospect. There had been no warning signs. You hadn't been any more depressed or bored or frustrated by the world. Work hadn't been any more or less stressful than usual. You just were walking home, and you stopped at a Frit for a pack of cigarettes. It had been an overcast day, but warm. There was, you remember, the promise of a beautiful sunset. You assume there was a sunset, but do not remember if it was beautiful or not. It had been a perfectly ordinary day. You bought cigarettes and a Pilsner. Your tolerance is shit because your liver is permanently damaged. You went back to the Frit for another bottle. Much, much later, you went once again for a pack of gum. What if, you think, maybe there was a sign? What if Kim can see something you can't? Luckily, Kim is not able to follow you along on your inner monologues. He can, however, sense your mood shift. I didn't think it was anything serious, he reassures. His hand pauses from wandering over your chest. Instead, he holds it steady against your sternum. But if something is bothering you... Oh, no, I don't think so. You don't want to admit you're afraid you can't tell. Anyway, maybe it's nothing. But what do you think it is? He looks in your eyes, assessing you again. After a second, apparently satisfied, he smiles. Well, in my expert opinion, I had thought it was a sex thing. Your train of thought grinds to a halt. Oh my God. It's a good thing you have a chaotic brain and are by now immune to mood whiplash, because now everyone in your head is shouting, he knows about your new piss fetish. Kim knows you want him to piss on you. And if by some strange miracle he doesn't, unlikely, you have seconds to come up with a way to hide the fact that all you've been doing when you're blowing him is daydream being used as a urinal. You say. Cool, cool, cool. What a strong start to what will, no doubt, be a sparkling example of your linguistic repartee. Oh, well, yeah, Kim. I do think about doing it. Like, a lot. Ah, there it is. The old hairy charm. And the truth, sire. Great work, everyone. So eloquent. Kim raises an eyebrow. You do? So do I. But I think that you're thinking of doing it in a new way. Or maybe you're becoming preoccupied with the new fantasy. He trails off, as if considering. This latter thought seems to have just occurred to him. It's okay if you are, thinking of something or someone else, sometimes. It's normal to... No, you interrupt. Then, because that's not quite true, I mean, sure, okay, I'm thinking of something sometimes, but definitely not someone else. Who else would I even think of? Kim gives you a flat look. I don't know. A model? An actor from pornography, maybe? I am not saying it's someone we know. That's the nature of fantasma erotique. It doesn't need to be based in reality. Could even be a Sita. Maybe his Sita, you think? People definitely play sexy whirl, right? Maybe you should too? You should definitely ask later. Oh, but don't ask on game night. The others wouldn't like that. Or even, Kim continues, it's apparent this new line of thought has really got traction with him. He is probably regretting not writing down all the times he noticed you were spacing out during sex, so he could figure this all out on his own ahead of time. Zinaida Boyatsi. Oh, no. No, Kim has not figured out your piss fetish. He has, instead, done some quick calculations about tip-top tournée, pillows, and a driver with, you are not going to deny it, an absolutely disco ass. You are going to have to do something. You don't want him thinking that while you're giving him head, you've been imagining he's a woman half his age with a penchant for leather bodysuits that are too low cut to provide any protection whatsoever in the inevitable event of a crash. What? No! This comes out way, way too strong. You basically were shouting. Really, Harry, it's not a good look. You might as well have nodded, grinned, put two thumbs up, and proudly proclaimed, "Yes, Kim, you're right. I 100% wish I was blowing the zin instead of you." "Yes, it's all right," he reassures. "I'm secure in..." "Kim, ugh." "Think about when I get hard," you interrupt. You are blushing so hard now, your face aches. He stares at you. You stare back. Psychically, you are pleading with him. "Do the math. She wasn't even in half the races." Slowly, both eyebrows raise. Thank God he's done the math. But he stays silent. You are going to have to ask for it, champ. Or you're going to have to lie. Or you can tell him to forget all about it. Which, just for the record, he definitely won't. Swallowing, you try not to look away. "It's super weird. I don't know if..." "You don't have to." "Neither of us have to do anything, Harry," he replies. "When I told you about what I like, well, I said before, we can talk about this any time. You know, there are even forms. You can go through one ahead of time and share it with your partner. You check off things you want to do, things you would be willing to try, things you wouldn't ever consider. It might be a good idea. We probably should have filled one out already." Forms. Ugh. You really don't want to fill out any forms, not even if they're sexy forms. But you also don't want to say that, because Kim's obviously sold. He's still pretty repressed, after all. Maybe he has other, kinkier shit he's into? Maybe a form will loosen him up. Definitely there's sexy stuff you've forgotten, and maybe there's stuff you never even knew about to begin with. It'll be educational. It's homework, sure, but even you have to admit it's not a bad idea. "Yeah, okay." Kim falls into a stunned silence. You just agreed to forms. Quickly, and without the slightest of whinging. Now he thinks there must be something wrong with you. "But, I just..." "Just say it," you order yourself. "Forms later. Piss now." "I just want you to piss on me," you finish. Like that. Lowercase, all one word. "What?" "I, when you get up to take a leak during tip-top, that's when I was getting hard." "Ah, I see." "Oh, fuck. What does that mean?" He doesn't sound grossed out, but he doesn't sound into it either. He sounds perfectly, terrifyingly neutral. "You see?" you echo. "You are going to die. He should just tell you to fuck off. He can't leave you hanging like this." "I'm sorry. It came as a surprise. Please, give me a moment." He genuinely did not see this coming. He knew you were off in your own perverse little head, but he didn't have any clue as to where. "I said you didn't have to, and I said neither of us have to do anything. Harry, it's not..." He hesitates. Suddenly, you realize he's trying not to say it's not that weird. He doesn't want to minimize how nervous you were, asking. He's far too good for you, Harry. "Uncommon. But I admit it's not something I've considered in the past. It's fine, Harry. I'd be happy to piss on you." The way he says it, your exhausted cock even manages a feeble twitch. He says it like, "It's fine, I'd be happy to stop by the bookstore on the way home." Just a pleasant, everyday kind of favor. It won't happen tonight. It might not happen for a while yet. You trust him so completely. Kim will find the right time. You smile up at him, so relieved and grateful that you can hardly speak.
Oh.
Cool, you say, eventually. Kim smiles back. Very cool, he agrees. He means it's a promise. Chapter 2. It takes 17 days. This is not to say you're counting these down, not exactly. For one thing, many of these days are the sort where you get home from work 10 seconds before the alarm goes off for you to go back again. Woe be unto your digestive system, for these are sausage roll kiosk mornings. For another, in the rare moments you do have free together, Kim has kept things interesting. First was the form. He turned up with one a week after you spoke. Where did he get it? Is there an exclusive print shop for members of the underground? Surely not all homosexuals are into forms, not everyone can be Kim. Maybe you can find these at any old Papatilly Revachal? At the library? Anyway, wherever it came from, it appeared on the nightstand. Neatly stapled, there they were, 4 pages of various acts, with boxes for yes, maybe, and no printed alongside. It took you 3 days to get through it, both because you get distracted at the tamest checklist, and you needed to concentrate. Kim would be mad if half the list was yes, and you wrote in, if you wanna, winky face, by all the rest. And because you kept having to ask Kim for definitions. You are actually pretty bummed when you finish your homework and turn it in. You'll really miss seeing his ears go red as you interrupt his crosswords with lines like, hey, babe, what's felching? The answer? Just check yes. You do that already. Somehow, he completely evades telling you what it is, no matter how many times you ask. So, for some reason, you decided to ask Sean at lunch. You thought it would be cool, like an icebreaker. Talking about sex is a buddy cop thing, right? Wrong. It doesn't go over super great. Here's as far as your questioning got you. From Jean's mostly shouted reaction, it's not something that requires 2 penises. From Kim's reaction, it's definitely something you 2 can do, and that specifically you do. You've exhausted all leads. Whatever it is, guess you're down for it. You check yes. And during those 17 days, it wasn't like Kim let you think he had forgotten about his promise. He always gave you a smug look when he got up from the couch, and sometimes he even glanced at you when he crossed by your desk on the way to the men's room. Mostly, you behave yourself in response. The one time it was different, you were walking back home from your monthly whirl game. Judith is the GM, and she insists upon hosting. Apparently, you never played before, at least never with anyone from the 41st. She probably wouldn't have accepted you playing now if you weren't a required add-on to get Kim, and also if it weren't impossible to find people willing to start a new world campaign. Kim pulled you into an alley. You assumed he'd seen something cool. Finally, Kim's getting into the Jamrock Shuffle proper. Time to flare up that wardrobe. But instead, he pushed you against the rough brick wall. I wonder what would happen if I told you to kneel. Right here. Your knees buckled. Kim shoved up against you, one knee jammed between your thighs, keeping you upright. I thought so. You would like that, wouldn't you? If I did it to you right here, right now? He paused, looking around, listening hard. But there was no one. You and he were alone. Still, he lowered his voice to a whisper, his lips brushing against your ear as he spoke. You want to be on your knees in this filthy alley. Who knows how many people have pissed here already? And here you are, begging to kneel in it, for me to use you in the same way. All the blood rushed out of your head. It was all you could do not to faint. Uh-huh, was all you could manage in reply. Your cock was throbbing against his thigh. You almost cried when he pulled away. That's what I thought, he repeated, adjusting his glasses. He took a glance at your groin and raised an eyebrow. We had better get you home and deal with that. After about 1,000 city blocks when you finally were home, Kim insisted he had pre-existing, non-piss-related plans for your raging hard-on. No worries, it was still mega-awesome. Kim's a total demon when he wants to ride you, and hey, he even let you eat him out after. On that 17th day, you arrived home first. Again. It's never ideal. You try your level best to get home with Kim, or after. But every so often, you finish up your reports and get everything filed and even clean out your coffee cup, and find yourself without any excuse for hanging around the precinct. Kim says it's actually good for your recovery for you to be alone, but you disagree. It's risky, being left with just the company of your mind. Preparing dinner is often a safe bet. So that's what you do, just mise en placing away. You get everything chopped and pull out all the tiny bones you can from the fish. This kills about half an hour, and you are wondering if you shouldn't bake a cake, too, when Kim comes home. Sorry for the wait, he says, hanging up his jacket. You shrug. You're happy to see him, but also, you're disappointed you didn't make him a cake now that the thought's formed. Aw, you know I know how it is. You hungry? This'll come together quick. He looks at the counter, then back at you. But could it keep? Your eyebrows raise. Suddenly, you notice he looks a little tense. Your mouth goes dry. How long can you leave fish on the counter again? Under current temperature conditions, 2 hours, your encyclopedia proudly exclaims. Great work, Team Harry. The fish has only been out for 45 minutes, tops. Yeah? It'll be okay for, like, an hour. Kim smiles, just a bit. Okay, no. He's a lot tense. Good. We definitely will not be needing that long. Apron off. Follow me. Fuck. Yes. You know exactly where you're going. It's all you can do to not trip and break your arm as you try to run and strip on the way to the bathroom. Kim laughs as you trail your socks and pants and shirt down the short hall, and soon your briefs are on the bathroom floor, and you are fully, achingly erect. Kim, meanwhile, is still completely dressed. And basically vibrating, you notice. How long has he been holding it? Had he been drinking more coffee today? You remember, when you said bye to him, he was by the water cooler. Get in the tub, Kim orders. You stop staring at him. It's starting to sound urgent. You get in the tub. No, not like that. Sit down or we'll never get you back up. You laugh. It's true, even for that second there, the ceramic was sheer hell on your knees. You figure out quick what he has planned, for you to sit cross-legged with your back against the tiles, so that you are seated perpendicular to how you lie in the bath. It's a strange vantage point, facing out at the bathroom, and you're clumsy getting sorted. But it's all good. It's absolutely disco. You still have a massive erection. Because it is happening. Oh my God, you think. It is happening. Kim's got a straight shot from here. He's standing right in front of the tub, looking down at you. You guess it makes sense that it'd be like this. Kim's pride probably demanded it be here, in the privacy of your own home, in the easy-to-clean confines of your tub. Poor Kim, he'd just die if anyone found out what a super-awesome, down-for-whatever boyfriend he really is. We really got to get him to loosen up. But you have time for that. That's your long-term project. For now, you're pretty focused on your short-term project of being Kim's urinal. You're so excited, you won't even mind if he makes you scrub the grout after. Oh my God, Kim, you say aloud. Your hand falls in your lap. You just can't help giving yourself a little squeeze. You're sure? He asks, and you nod furiously. Hell yeah, you're sure. Come on, Kim. You've never been, and never will be, more sure of anything in your life. That's good. He unzips his pants, and pulls himself from his boxers. You shudder and lean toward him. Fuck. Another time, maybe you can ask him to do this to you while he's naked, but right now you are all for him acting like you're back in the alleyway. You can't decide yet if you should open your mouth. For now, you don't. I don't know how much I'll be able to control this. He's holding himself, aiming at you, and he makes that sound again, the one that started this all. That little sigh, barely audible, even now. You aren't watching his face when he does it, but you can imagine the look of relief washing over him, the tension easing in the set of his jaw. Instead of his face, you are, of course, watching his cock. Watching the way it twitches a little in his hand as he relaxes. Watching the tiny motion of the head as the first jet of piss streams out. Oh, fuck, you moan as it splashes onto your gut. You didn't know he was aiming that low, and your hand rushes to feel it, to rub it in and then trail it down as you go for your cock. No need to rush here, Harry. Best not come before Kim's even finished. But you have just got to start jerking off with his piss. A few more drops fall down from his cock, each of them hot and perfect on the curve of your belly. Yeah? He asks. This is a little awkward for him. That's why he stopped, though you think that wasn't entirely intentional. It isn't just him driving, in part it's his reflexes. The unknown voice of autonomic nervous system, even your own, never talks to you. His body saying, despite your best impression otherwise, wait, stop, this isn't actually a toilet. At least you can tell he's enjoying your reaction to it. And, at least he's stubborn. Kim's not about to let some puny animal reflex get in the way of a good time. You watch in awe as he retracts his foreskin, as he holds himself to aim higher. Fuck yeah. This time, you hope, it's going to be all of it. He breathes out again, another quiet sigh. And he lets go again. You watch as long as you can. You've seen Kim's cock 1,000 times, but you've never watched it head-on doing this. Never seen the slight flare of the slit as the stream rushes out. And the fluid dynamics of urination is actually weirdly mesmerizing to your visual calculus. This time, it catches you on the chest, and his hot piss soaks your hair for a moment, funneling between your flabby pecs, flowing down over your belly, before Kim shifts even closer to the bath. This is not a perfect setup. The tub is an antique, a chipped old clawfoot. It adds some inches to your sitting height, and Kim doesn't wear his boots in the house. Logic, trivial success. This would have been way more ergonomic. And sexier, in the alleyway. So, when he shifts to aim higher again, you lean down to meet him halfway. And, holy shit, Kim is pissing on your face. You really do have to shut your eyes then, but it's so worth it. The groan you make sounds wounded, gravelly and low. You keep your mouth shut for another moment, just feeling it as he marks you, as piss streams over your nose and cheeks, as it drips from your facial hair, as it trails down your chin and neck. The smell is not as intense as you would have thought. Makes sense, it's pretty clear. He must have drank a ton of water today. It certainly seems like he's pissing a lot. As that thought occurs to you, you realize now may be your last chance, at least for a while. So, you open your mouth. Kim makes a sound like he's surprised, even though you totally checked the yes box on the urine, comma, drinking line of your homework. You are jerking yourself off frantically now, the slap of skin against piss-soaked skin obscene and echoing in your tiny bathroom, and you hold your mouth open as Kim fills it. You let the piss pool in your mouth and spill out, not swallowing. You pant anxiously, loud through your nose, feeling filthier than ever as his piss mixes with your saliva, as you start drooling it all down your chest and stomach. Your balls tighten, and your hand speeds. You're about to come, and you're making some very pathetic sounds through your nose right now. but you fist the base of your cock hard, stemming it, waiting for Kim. Luckily, he is almost done. A last weak contraction and a few more drops, and you hear him breathe out. You open your eyes, just in time to watch him give his dick a little shake. "Let me," you beg, the words coming out unbidden. Kim raises his eyebrows. "Let me lick you clean?" "Not sure how clean that will be," he replies. It's obvious he's going to give in, though. He leans just a little closer, still holding his dick, offering it up to you. "But yeah, of course. Be careful, okay?" He means, "If urine gets all over my pants, I am going to be less than thrilled." Obediently, you hold your hands behind your back and raise your head. You let him control it, let him feed you just the head of his dick. It's thrilling to have him between your lips like this, soft, warm, a little slick, fragile and vulnerable. You tongue gently at his slit, chasing that last hint of piss. He makes a noise like he's trying to stifle a moan. He likes this part. Not just what you're doing with your mouth. He likes how you look, too. He likes how you focus so completely on him. Eventually, you pull back, nice and slow. He's still looking at you as, with easy, unconscious motions, he rolls his foreskin back over, tucks himself in his boxers, and zips up his fly. This, to you, is so sexy that you can't get your hand pumping your cock fast enough. "Fuck, thank you, baby," you grunt. He takes a step back. He doesn't want your cum all over his clothes either, and you shudder with delight as he just stands there watching you. Shit, he even puts his hands behind his back. It looks like he's a little bored with you. "Mm-hmm. You're welcome. There's a good boy. Let me see you come." You were already so close. His words are like an electric shock, cables wired straight to your balls. You come hard, jizz splattering against the side of the tub, leaking down the back of your fingers as you work yourself through it. Panting and groaning, you slump heavily back against the tiles. You don't know how you're ever going to get up. You look down briefly at your torso, letting the image burn into your mind, your hair plastered down with piss and cum. "Damn," you say, eventually. You want to tell him how crazy you are for him, how you want to kiss his feet for being so fucking amazing and so fucking nice to a guy like you. Instead, you say this. "You really piss a lot, Kim. I don't think it's good to hold it that long." He shakes his head. Already, he's wandered off to the sink, and he's washing his hands. "It's not that bad. I did get a kidney infection once, but I was undercover. That was years ago. It's not a big deal." "Kim?" you start, scandalized. "No one should ever hold it to kidney infection levels. And you know he'd totally do it again." But you're not the best person to be giving medical advice, so you won't lecture him. "It's not something I do now. At least, not normally," he says, drying his hands off. He leans his hip against the sink and looks at you fondly. "Let me see you get up too, all right? I want to make sure you don't fall. Hell of a story at the precinct if you did." "I'll say it's all yours. The piss, the cum, everything," you claim, gripping the side of the tub as you unsteadily get your feet back beneath you. "It's not an old man thing," you tell yourself. "You're in decent condition." "Well, a condition, anyway. Better than last year. This would be cake if only you had less bullets in your body." Your right hip pops audibly as you move. "Kim did this. He pushed me over and then he did this to me. So perverse, so cruel." "Uh-huh. With a cracked skull, I doubt you'll be saying very much. Look, I just don't want to have to clean up blood, too. Ah, there you go. Nice work." Big compliment for standing, but given the status of the tub and your legs, You're taking it. Do not give in to the impulse to bow. It's best not tempt fate, sire. Kim rushes to pull the shower curtain closed for you before you can touch it with your piss-contaminated paws. Wash thoroughly, he emphasizes, and you laugh as you twist the taps, waiting for the hot water to rattle up the ancient pipes to your fifth-floor apartment. I'll take care of the rest of dinner while you take care of... this. Yeah, yeah. Don't overdo the fish, okay? 2 minutes less than you want to cook it, remember? Yes, chef, he says. You grin as you lift the diverter, letting now lukewarm water spray you from the showerhead. You imagine he's raised his hand in mock salute. He often does when you're bossing him around in the kitchen. It's the spot where your authority can finally shine. And Kim? You ask before he leaves, as you're pouring shampoo into your hand. After dinner, I'll take care of you. You can almost hear him smile. A threat, officer? Mm-hmm, you hum, scrubbing at your scalp. Ah, I hoped so. Then I'll be counting on it, he says, and you cannot stop grinning during your shower, and all through dinner as you eat your overdone fish. The end.